Let's continue reading Ezra chapter 10. Now, in this last chapter of the book of Ezra, the problem of intermarriage with the foreign women who followed the pagan religions is investigated and the offenders are disciplined. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 8. Now, while Ezra was praying and while he was confessing, weeping, and bowing down before the house of God, a very large assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him from Israel. For the people wept very bitterly. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, spoke up and said to Ezra, "We have trespassed against our God, and have taken pagan wives from the peoples of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel in spite of this. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all these wives and those who have been born to them, according to the advice of my master and those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this is your responsibility. We also are with you. Be of good courage and do it." Then Ezra arose and made the leaders of the priests, the Levites, and all Israel swear an oath that they would do according to this word. So they swore an oath. And Ezra rose up before the house of God and went into the chamber of Jehohanan, the son of Eliashib. And when he came there, he ate no bread and drank no water, for he mourned because of the guilt of those from the captivity. And they issued a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to all the descendants of the captivity that they must gather at Jerusalem, and that whoever would not come within 3 days, according to the instructions of the leaders and elders, all his property would be confiscated, and he himself would be separated from the assembly of those from the captivity. Once again, let's consider a few background notes. As we begin our study of this last chapter of the book of Ezra, let me mention two more general background notes that we haven't mentioned before about this book of Ezra. Did you know that about 1/4 of the book of Ezra is written in Aramaic? Most of the Old Testament, as you know, is written in Hebrew. But the books of Daniel and Ezra have significant parts written in Aramaic. Aramaic was the lingua franca of Ezra's day. This was the common language. The Jewish people learned to speak Aramaic while they were captives in Babylon. Another general background note about the book of Ezra is that the first two verses of the book are identical to the last three verses of 2 Chronicles. This indicates the close connection between these books and strongly suggests that Ezra was the author of both 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Well, I trust that you find these general background notes interesting and helpful. Now, we saw in chapter 9 that Ezra was confronted with a major problem. A number of men had intermarried with the heathen women of the land who followed pagan religions. Some of these marriages had produced children, as we see here in chapter 10, verse 44, the last verse of the chapter. All these had taken pagan wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. Now, what was the solution to this problem? In chapter 9, we saw remorse for the sin and confession of the sin on the part of Ezra for the nation. Now, here in chapter 10, we see the disciplinary action taken. That brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for Ezra chapter 10. Doctrinal point number one. The discipline of God's people is demanded. The discipline of God's people is demanded. As a result of Ezra's great prayer of confession, a large number of concerned people gathered in the courts of the temple and joined him in weeping bitterly. Notice in verse 1 that the group included men, women, and children. When God's people sin, it is right that all of the fellowship be concerned to the point of prayer and weeping together. Shechaniah is the spokesman for the people, and he says in verse 2 that there is hope for Israel in this matter. Now, what does he mean by this? Shechaniah knew that on the basis of God's law, Deuteronomy chapter 30, for example, that if God's people were concerned about the problem of sin, and did something about the problem of sin, and disciplined those involved in the sin, then God was merciful and would not turn away from his people. You know that biblical principle is still God's way of operation for believers today? There is hope when there is discipline. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we read there of a believer in the Corinthian church who was involved in sexual sin. Discipline was demanded. 1 Corinthians 5:13, remove the wicked man from among yourselves. This man was put out of fellowship because discipline was demanded. But that's not the end of the story. The discipline worked. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the man was restored to the fellowship. Because of discipline, there was hope. But the discipline was necessary. You don't sweep sin under the rug or cover it up. Now, all the congregation doesn't have to know all the details, but the spiritual leaders must deal with the sins of God's people. That's what Shechaniah says in verse 4 to Ezra, who is the spiritual leader here. Verse 4, once again, arise, for this matter is your responsibility. We also are with you. Be of good courage and do it. Notice that it takes courage and support to discipline God's people. Let me ask you this morning, do you support your spiritual leaders when they have to exercise discipline? Or do you disagree with them? Convicting question, isn't it? Spiritual leaders aren't always perfect, but they are given the authority from God, and part of their responsibility is to discipline God's people. We see a teaching right here in the book of Ezra. You should support and encourage and even give courage to your spiritual leaders as they exercise spiritual discipline. Ezra and the other spiritual leaders propose that everyone should assemble at Jerusalem to settle this matter. Those who would refuse to come would be excluded from the assembly of God's people. The discipline of God's people is demanded. Doctrinal point number 2. The discipline of God's people is difficult. The discipline of God's people is difficult. Verses 9 through 44. So all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered at Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month, on the 20th of the month, and all the people sat in the open square of the house of God, trembling because of this matter and because of heavy rain. Then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, you have transgressed and have taken pagan wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now therefore make confession to the Lord God of your fathers and do his will. Separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the pagan wives. Then all the assembly answered and said with a loud voice, yes, as you have said, so we must do. But there are many people. It is the season for heavy rain, and we are not able to stand outside. Nor is this the work of 1 or 2 days, for there are many of us who have transgressed in this matter. Please let the leaders of our entire assembly stand, and let all those in our cities who have taken pagan wives come at appointed times, together with the elders and judges of their cities, until the fierce wrath of our God is turned away from us in this matter. Only Jonathan, the son of Azahel, and Jahaziah, the son of Tikvah, opposed this, and Meshulam and Shabbatai, the Levite, gave them support. Then the descendants of the captivity did so. And Ezra the priest, with certain heads of the father's households, were set apart by the father's households, each of them by name, and they sat down on the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. By the first day of the first month, they finished questioning all the men who had taken pagan wives. And now from verses 18 to the end of the chapter, we have a listing of all those who were found guilty. In verses 18 through 22, we have 17 priests who were found guilty. In verses 23 and 24, we read of 10 Levites who were found guilty. In verses 25 through 43, we read of 84 other men who were found guilty. Now verse 44. All these had taken pagan wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. These were wives from the foreign peoples of the land who followed pagan religions. We see in these verses that the solution to the problem was that local leaders and judges were chosen to investigate the problem on a case-by-case basis in their own areas. These local leaders would know more of the details. Look again at verses 16 and 17. And they sat down on the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. By the first day of the first month, they finished, questioning all the men who had taken pagan wives. The investigation took 3 months. Now, presumably, those wives who had become believers and had been brought into the covenant community were marriages that were allowed to remain. There was provision under the law for proselyte wives. But those wives who refused to leave their foreign gods and foreign religions were put away. That is, the marriages were dissolved. The purity of God's covenant people was to be maintained. Presumably, the wives and children were provided for materially and financially, however. Now remember, this directive was for Israel under the law. This directive was not given for Christians in the church today. We learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that Christians are not to seek a divorce from an unbeliever in a mixed marriage. The proper discipline was carried out in Ezra's day, but it was not easy. Proper discipline is never easy, whether it's in the family or in the church. Would you agree? Now notice a few reasons why the discipline of God's people is difficult. Number one, not everyone is in agreement. Verse 15, we find four men here who disagreed with the others. They either thought the discipline was too harsh or too lenient. Number two, some priests and Levites and leaders were involved themselves with the problem. They should have been models, but they were part of the problem. Number three, there were family connections. The discipline of God's people is difficult because most of the time there are family connections. It makes discipline difficult, very difficult at times. And number four, the problem resurfaces. One generation later, we read of the same problem coming up again in Nehemiah chapter 13. All of these reasons make the discipline of God's people difficult, then and today. The discipline of God's people is difficult. Practical application. Let's be firm but flexible like Ezra. Let's be firm but flexible like Ezra. We see in this chapter that Ezra was a firm disciplinarian. He did not back down from his responsibility to discipline for disobedience to God's word. But Ezra was reasonable and flexible because he was a good leader. When the people said in verses 12 through 14, "You're right, Ezra, we're guilty, but give us some time to have this investigated case by case." Not only that, Ezra, we're shivering out here in this cold rain. Now notice how Ezra does not respond. Ezra does not say, "Rain or no rain, we'll settle this matter right now. No one leaves the temple courts until this matter is settled." No, Ezra was firm but flexible. Sign of a good leader. He listened to reason. So whether it be family discipline, dads here this morning, or discipline in the church, let's be firm but flexible like Ezra.